Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us and so we can understand your word and be more understanding of your character. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, starting with verse 36 in Acts chapter 15. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So, as my son is being a four-year-old, it's interesting when I read this story, because if you know what happens in Acts chapter 15, what happens is when Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem, they speak about how they've reached the Gentiles, and this issue of circumcision has been an issue that is holding back the ministry because, one, it is not necessary for them to be circumcised, and two, if we start preaching to the Gentiles that they need to be circumcised, this is going to hinder how many people we reach and baptize. So they went to Jerusalem to let them notice, and they gave their story. The Holy Spirit led in a mighty way. James finally stands up and he says, okay, I read the room and I read what the Holy Spirit is saying. Circumcision is no longer required for converts, especially for our Gentile converts into Christianity or into the way, as it was called. They just need to refrain from sexual immorality, meat offered to idols, and the real big things. So right then, they're excited. They're saying, yes, we can go tell the Gentiles the great news and we can reach all these people and we don't have to say that they need to be circumcised. It's going to be great. So Paul and Barnabas are on fire. They're excited. And then all of a sudden, Barnabas turns to Paul and says, all right, we're going to another city. We need to bring John Mark. And then Paul says, wait, what did you just say? Did you just say John Mark? No, we're not bringing John Mark. Because last time when we brought him to Pamphylia, this guy bounced on us. Back in those days, being a Christian was...
Where's John Mark?
John Mark was somebody who was following Jesus Christ. John Mark was someone who was following Jesus Christ. Remember in the Gospels? What's the Gospels? The first four books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. You know Mark? Remember Mark? That's who I'm talking about. Okay? That's the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So, right here, the man who wrote the Gospel of Mark, he ran away from serving because there was persecution, there was all kinds of issues back then. I mean, preaching the gospel led to Paul's death. James had already, James was put to death. I mean, there was persecution, like, this was serious persecution in those days. And Mark, being afraid, ran. But Barnabas said, we need to give Mark another chance. We need to give him another chance. We need to give him another chance. We need to understand that, yes, he failed the first time, but we are not to just prohibit this young man from serving God. Because he failed once doesn't mean he'll fail again. We need to empower him and try again. Paul's like, nope, this business is too hard and it's too tough and it's not about giving people a chance. It's about getting the job done. So I'm capable and you're capable. John Mark is not capable. So we are going to hurry up and forget about him and leave him where he is. argument became so heated that they actually did not work with each other again. They actually split. And this story is interesting to me on two levels. Number one, it's interesting because, excuse me guys for 1 second. So the interesting story about it is the fact that John Mark is not being empowered by Paul, but Barnabas is empowering him. So you know me, I'm all about youth empowerment and giving youth another chance and letting them fail and understanding that failure does not mean a rejection. Failure is how you learn. Failure is how you grow. But Paul is of the thought of, well, there are people who have gifts, and if they don't have the gift, then you're hindering the spreading of the gospel by trying to have them go again. And what's really interesting about this story is not only does it point out, even in the early church, there was arguments and dissension and arguments on youth empowerment and when young people fail, they shouldn't be given a second chance. But here's the other thing I want you guys to also notice. And it comes from 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in ministry. Paul, when he is in prison and he feels rejected and nobody's with him anymore, it's only Luke that's with him. He calls for Mark. He recognized that Mark is helpful to the ministry, meaning that it's not found in the book of Acts, but I always imagine that Paul had to apologize to Mark, that Paul had to say, you know what, Mark, I messed up. I said that you didn't deserve a second chance, but Barnabas was right in giving you a second chance. And I apologize and not believing in you. I apologize in limiting what the Holy Spirit can do and not empowering you for that second chance. And the reason I like that story so much and I wanted to talk about it is because we are finding ourselves in these last days having church dissension. We have arguments amongst ourselves about things in the church. We have arguments about women's ordination. We still have arguments today. And trust you, I know because I have interviewed these people. I have talked to youth leaders all around the world who have talked about how we have to empower young people. We have to give them chances. We have to allow them to fail. And yet when I go to visit churches, there are all the time the complaints that they never let us have a chance to lead. They never give us an opportunity. Or once we messed up, they never gave us a chance again. It's something that you can find even in the New Testament. Even what's happening today, one of the things that started to come up was, our pastor's going to speak about it, right? Because we know the African American and the pastors of color, they're going to talk about it. They're going to talk about it. They have no choice. It's affecting them every single part of their lives, their congregation. But what will the institution say? What will Amazing Facts say? What will 3ABN say? Because they're led by Caucasian leaders and Caucasian pastors. Will they speak about it? And these things can lead to dissension and all these things. And I find it interesting that the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit was working in a mighty way, had dissension, had arguments, and they don't gloss over that. They don't hide that. They don't keep that secret. Luke tells that story. Tells, because remember, Paul is the main character of Acts, and this is where he messed up. So Luke is telling a story of where Paul has messed up. And yet, it's good that he tells that story because it can teach us a lesson. And what's awesome about it is that even Paul himself, I believe, acknowledges that he made that mistake. And I think that that's what we need to do. So we should empower people, let them have second chances, but also we should give them the we should have the opportunity to not only give them that opportunity, but we should be the ones that say, if we were against it, we should go up to that young person or that leader and say, you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong in what I believed, in that you weren't ready, that you weren't capable, that you weren't able to spread the gospel. But who am I to be the judge? Because the Holy Spirit knows way better than me. And if we had those honest conversations, man, how better it would be in the church, in our community, and with each other. And that's what I wanted to say.
Be good for everything that you want.
What? I think he meant be good to each other. That's what you meant? Mm-hmm. To be good to each other? Yes. Mm-hmm. Be good to one another. That's good. Be good to one another and
be nice.
Yeah.
How was it?
I don't know. I got a hand clap from Matthew. So I think they like the word. So my biggest critic is on my lap right now.
Lap? Why is my name?
Well, I just finished talking about Acts 15 and just seeing if anyone wanted to give a comment or something like that. And after that, that's it. Yeah, that was your Bible story for tonight, too.
I want one more.
Oh, no, you're not getting another.
One more, please.
All right. Well, everyone's quiet. So let me just pray one more time again. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for being our God. We just want you to speak to us and remind us to follow your way and what your Holy Spirit leads us to do. That arguments in the church is fine, but we need to always turn to you to be the mediator and the final say on what is right. And give us the strength and the patience and the understanding to tell people we're sorry when we mess up. Help us to be humble enough to understand that saying I'm sorry can be really powerful in somebody's life. So speak to us, be with us, and thank you for allowing us to come together to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.